Please keep your Bibles open to Romans chapter 14, and we will be looking at verses 13 to 23 this morning, and then in the afternoon, God willing, we shall begin a new chapter in Romans chapter 15. Our subject this morning is the law of Christian love, or you can say the nature of Christian love. The Apostle Paul, in this remaining verses of chapter 14, is showing us the principle of Christian love in our relationship with one another in the church, in the Lord, how we are to conduct ourselves, especially for those who are stronger in faith towards those who are weaker in faith. If believers truly love one another in the Lord, how do we manifest that? And that is by our intentional effort to seek to edify each other, to build up each other in the faith as members of the local church and as members of the body of Christ. This is what we ought to do if we claim or say that we are Christians and that we have love one for another, and we do so by seeking to edify or to support one another in the Lord. Paul shares in this section several facts to instruct us how we ought to love, how we ought to support one another, not just by our words, not just by our casual hi and hello, but to intentionally, from our hearts, to show love and to support one another. And as I said, particularly the stronger to the weaker brethren. As you look at verse 13, Paul says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this brother, that no man puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy need, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." So the first lesson here from these three verses is be a positive influence one to another. Be a positive influence one to another. And this is what we ought or seek to do. Believers ought to take note of the possible ways we can affect or influence one another. Negatively, we can cause others to stumble and grieve others, or even to destroy them. Paul was speaking of the way the strong Christian affected the weaker Christian. Paul deal with the same or similar problem in 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 8 to chapter 9, where the question was, should Christian eat meat that has been offered to idols in hidden temples? Then he pointed out that knowledge and love must work together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." The strong Christian has spiritual knowledge, no doubt, but if he or she does not exercise love, his knowledge will hurt the weak instead. Knowledge must be balanced by love. And an illustration of this point is when parents try to assure their child who is afraid of the dark and think that is something hidden in the closet. Of course, for the parents, they know, they have this knowledge that the child is safe. There is nothing dangerous. There is nothing there, in fact, behind the closet. But his or her knowledge alone cannot assure or comfort the child. You can never argue a child into losing fear. It is when father and mother or father and mother come alongside, talk lovingly to the child and assure the child that everything is secure. Then the child will be at rest. Then the child indeed will go to sleep without fear. So the essence of this is this. Knowledge accompanied by love helps the weaker brethren to grow, to mature in their faith. In verse 14, Paul writes, there is nothing unclean of itself. No foods are unclean. No days are unclean. No people are unclean. And this is clearly revealed to the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10. The thing in and of itself, whatever the things may be, is not the issue. Rather, it is what something does to a person that determines its quality. A Christian may exercise his Christian liberty with a clear conscience, while a weaker Christian doing the same thing might be tempted to sin. However, what matters is not how does it affect me. We must indeed think broader and further. We must rather ask, if I do this, how will it affect other believers? What will be my testimony? Will it glorify God if I do this or do that? Will it make my brother or my sister stumble? Will it grieve him or even her, or even destroy them by causing them to sin? Is it worth it to harm a brother or a sister just so that I can enjoy my Christian liberty? This is the issue. This is how we ought to think, how we ought to conduct ourselves for the stronger Christians towards the weaker Christians. And so you know the answer. The answer is no. We should not do that. We should be willing to sacrifice our Christian liberty for the good and benefit of our weaker brethren. Therefore, it is wrong to force other believers to act against their conscience, even when they are mistaken, even though their conscience may be weak. Let every believer, especially those stronger in faith, be mindful of the fact that the exercise of Christian liberty must be done with loving consideration for other believers out of that principle of love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 19, verse 15. We move on. The second lesson from this text is be sure to set things eternal and spiritual as priority. Be sure to set things eternal and spiritual as your priorities. Verses 16 to 18. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Like the Pharisees of old, we Christians have a way of majoring in the minor. We read this in Matthew 23, verses 23 to 24, concerning the Pharisees. Many churches are divided over matters that were really insignificant when compared to the vital or fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. Paul in verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Why? Because food itself does not bring us any closer or nearer to God. In 1 Corinthians 8 verse 8, Paul teaches us, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better, neither if we eat not, are we the worse. And then he continues in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 8, 9. But take heed, lest by any means of this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So what matters most is not the temporal. It is the eternals. Which is what? Which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 17b. And we ask, where do these eternals come from? Things that are eternal, things that are of eternal value, such as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is true, and by the Holy Spirit of God who works in our lives. And we see the same teaching in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. So if each believer would yield to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and major or concentrate our attention in godly living and make the eternals, the spirituals, their top priorities, then there will be harmony, peace, and unity in the church. The third lesson we can glean from this passage is be willing to help one another to grow. Be willing to help one another to grow. We have already touched on be a positive influence one to another. Be sure to set things eternal and spiritual as priorities. Now we want to look at be willing to help one another to grow in our faith. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Both the strong believer and the weak believer need to grow, need to mature in the faith. The stronger believer needs to grow in love. The weaker believer needs to grow in knowledge and the understanding of God's word. So long as a believer is weak in the faith, those stronger must lovingly, in humility, in the fear of the Lord, treat him or her in his or her immaturity. If we truly follow the Lord's command to love one another, then it should follow that we will help one another to mature in our faith. It is wrong for a Christian to remain immature, having a weak conscience. An illustration from the home may help us to understand what is involved here. When a child comes into a home, everything has to change. Father and mother are careful, for example, not to leave the scissors or things that are dangerous to the child, to leave it lying around within reach of the child. But as the child matures, it is possible for parents to adjust the rules of the home or the house and lovingly treat him or the child in a more adult fashion. It is natural for a child to stumble when he or she is learning to walk. Likewise, young Christians need the kind of fellowship that will protect and encourage them to grow. But we cannot treat them like babies all their lives. The older Christians must exercise love and patience and be careful not to cause the weaker one into doing what they are not convinced is lawful to do so. And Paul says, it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. However, For the younger Christians, they must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter instructs us in 2 Peter 3:18. They cannot remain as babies in their faith. As they mature in their faith, they ought in turn to help other believers to grow also. Hebrews 5 verse 13 teaches us this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And then the writer goes on in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the weaker Christian must learn from the strong, and the strong must in humility be willing to condescend to love the weaker brethren. If every believer in our church practice that, then the result will naturally be peace, unity, harmony, and maturity to the glory and praise of our Lord. The fourth lesson from this passage is, be not assertive of your opinions. Be not assertive of your opinions. Verses 22 to 23. I read to you, as thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There are certain truths in the Bible that all believers must accept, because they are foundational and non-negotiable for the Christian faith. However, we must also recognize that there are areas of honest disagreement, even among believers. Even in things that are lawful, must not be made a test of our fellowship with one another. If you have a sincere conviction from God about a certain matter, keep it to yourself and do not try to force everybody else to accept it, or do not try to force everybody else to behave like what you behave. When a Christian does what is lawful but does not believe it in his or her heart, he or she then sins in motive, even though not outwardly. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And this means that he does not act out of love to the Lord Jesus Christ, or he is not confident of what he does is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Even if a person's convictions are immature, he must never violate his own conscience. And this would do great harm to his spiritual life. For example, the mature Christian knows that an idol is nothing. But a young Christian, just converted out of pagan idolatry, would still have fears about idolatry or of their idols. If the strong believers force the new Christian to eat meat sacrificed to an idol, the younger Christian would experience unrest in his conscience that would only further weaken his faith. And this we see in Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, which I mentioned earlier. The stronger believers are to avoid sinning by a wrong use of what is in itself lawful. I repeat, the stronger believers are to avoid sinning by a wrong use of what is in itself lawful. Let us therefore learn that the Christian's conscience is strengthened by knowledge of God's word. But knowledge itself is not enough. Knowledge must be balanced by love. Otherwise, it tears down instead of building up. The truth is that the things that are declared clean or pure by the Lord Jesus Christ will not of itself make a Christian grow in his faith or her faith. When this truth in Scripture is taught in an atmosphere of love, then the younger Christian can grow and develop a strong conscience. Believers may hold different convictions about many matters, but they must hold them in Christian love. What is of foremost concern for every true believer is this, that we should never disturb the peace and harmony and unity of the church except over a matter of real and vital principle. Let this be our foremost concern. Let us focus on those things that are of eternal value. Let us realize and remember that things that will cause unrest, trouble or disunity in the church must be avoided at all costs. Our main focus, our foremost concern in our church for every believer is that we should never disturb the peace, harmony and unity of the church except over a matter of real and vital principle. Rather than crusading for our own views in matters of minor importance, let us be zealous for peace and unity and harmony in our church. At the same time, we should also seek greater illumination of our brethren's minds and conscience through prayer and the Word of God. Let us show our love one another by being patient towards the younger believers, by being patient and forbearing towards those who may hold a different view from us, that we may show love by praying for them, that they may come a time where they may have a better or clearer understanding of the teachings of the Word of God, rather than we trying to force it upon them. Let every one of us in our church take heed of verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Let every one of us in this church take heed of this. By prayer, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, so that we may all edify one another and help one another to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God's name. So may the Lord help us to take in these teachings and grant us help to live it out. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we confess that oftentimes in our pride, we are so blinded by our pride to expect or to impose upon other believers our views, our opinions, or our conviction, that we forget that, Lord, you receive us just as we are. And likewise, we ought to receive one another just as you have very graciously received us. O Lord, we pray for thy forgiveness, for so often we in our pride, we despise or condemn the weaker brethren instead of helping them, instead of lovingly supporting them through prayer and through the instruction of God's word. We ask that, Lord, you will forgive every one of your children wherein we have fallen short of your glory in this area of our lives as members of the body of Christ. We ask that, Lord, you will cleanse and wash us and make us clean before you and create in us a clean heart. Create in us a humble and teachable heart. And fill our hearts with the love of Christ that we may love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we may truly, by thy help, genuinely and truly love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lord. And so, Lord, help us, we pray, especially for us in our congregation, that thou will instill this into our hearts and grant us much grace that we may exercise Christian love one for another. So bless us, we pray, for the rest of this Lord's day. And Lord, may you bring us back again afterwards in the afternoon for our afternoon worship. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.